DIW4FCM. DIW4FCM. On W4FCM. For KD4FDI.
For NUE Mobile.
For NUE KO4HX. Good morning.
Morning, bud. What's going on with you?
I'm to Lawrence. Gotta go to the Michelin test track this morning.
Well, I'm headed up the mountain to some deer camp, over.
Turn up today.
I'm gonna give it a shot, see what happens.
We're there to tell you how to do it.
Probably not. Anna, now that's a different story.
Got the big boss coming over today.
Exactly. Exactly.
Get them squirrels out of there too.
Somehow or another, I don't think I'm going to be able to work too much on that down of the day, but we'll figure it out.
Daniel cracking up so much about last night, I missed that.
Good one last night. I put in for years ago, me and a friend of mine that I deployed with, we put in for a South Carolina DNR lottery ticket for an alligator hunt. And, you know, you don't ever win it till you get around your 8th or 10th year, because you get preference points as you move along the ladder, you know. So, finally, we've got to a point to where we've got enough preference points to where we know we can, you know, legitimately be considered. It's time to renew. It's a $10 fee. And this year they published a PowerPoint presentation with, you know, the whole alligator hunt. And long story short, I think I've changed my mind. There's just a lot going on there, you know, that I probably didn't think that through very well. But, you know, I think I'm gonna have to back out of this one. They can kill you, you know, pretty easily. And just looking at, you know, the PowerPoint slide, a lot of requirements you have to meet. You know, you have to go through you have to take a float plan class online. You have to print off this special piece of paper with you to take to the emergency room. You know, if you get bit, and there's, you know, 13 different diseases that come with these things. And, you know, I don't know how many times they mentioned the word life jacket in the whole, you know, document. And just the rules that you have to, you know, abide by. I don't think that's for me. Over.
Well, everybody, I mean, when you're hunting a predator, they can hunt you back. I mean, that's a different ball game.
Well, they got the pictures with the, you know, the PowerPoint show. And there's, you know, got a picture of this one alligator. He's trying to get in the boat from the back side of the boat. No, you know, no hook, no line, no noose or anything. He's just trying to get on the boat on his own. And, you know, the rules, you know, one of the rules strictly says no standing in the boat. Well, hey, you know, you think about that for a minute. You know, alligator trying to get, you know, on the boat. What you gonna do? I mean, I know what I'm gonna do. You gonna have to stand the runs, all I can say.
K-8-H-A-N.
I know there's another station trying to get in there, but I'm waiting. And but my question is, where you gonna run to on that boat?
And that's, you know, that's the problem. That one of the rules, you know, there's a lot of rules in there. Some of them are kind of worded strangely. One of them is, you, these are requirements you have to have on the boat. And you get a ticket if you don't, you know, have these things on the boat. One of them is a large hunting knife. And in parentheses, it says, last resort. Now, what does that mean? What does last resort mean?
Got a hold of you, and that's all you can get a hold of.
So, I have come to the conclusion that, you know, that's probably not the best decision we've ever made together. So, I think I will be giving my battle buddy a call. You know, all this started in Iraq about 7 years ago, 7-8 years ago. And, you know, I'm not so tough anymore, you know. 8 years is a long time.
But, Chad, I am going to have to jump out on you. I think I have a sprung a diesel fuel leak. So I'm going to have to jump out and check it right quick. I'll be back in a few minutes. KO4HKX, clear.
QE, mobile.
GK8HAN.
AHADN, can you say you call for me one more time, sir?
Kilo 8, Hotel Alpha November. It's Brian. We've talked before. I just wanted to let you know, I've been listening for the last 3-4 minutes or whatever. You put a big smile on my face. That's going to be a fun something to make back today.
Oh, roger that. Well, I'm glad, man. That's, you know, sometimes a cup of coffee just ain't enough in the morning, right?
I believe I would pass on alligator hunting, too. It sounds really cool, the first conversation. And then when you start thinking about it like that, maybe it's not such a great idea.
So this whole conversation started with, you know, one of the guys I was deployed with in Iraq. We'd had pretty bad months and spent a lot of time in, you know, in a bunker. And, you know, when you, you know, in that kind of situation for an extended period of time, you kind of want to, you talk about, hey, what, you know, if we live through this, what are we going to do when we get home? We're going, you know, I'm going to spend more time with my kids. I'm going to spend more time with my family. You know, you kind of go through those kind of things. Well, we'd been through those 500 times, and so we come up with this bright idea that we're going to go alligator hunting. And, you know, that's kind of easy to make that decision in the middle of a desert. I don't think that's, like I said, I don't think that's the smartest decision we've ever made.
K8HAN, yeah, well, I've never been in a bunker. I've spent a lot of time on a submarine and a destroyer, and I guess I kind of can sympathize with that. But that decision to go alligator hunting got you through when it needed to get you through, and I guess it ran its purpose. So you don't need it anymore. You can let that one go.
Roger that. That's a good way of looking at it. That's a really good way of looking at it. But, like I said, I looked through the whole, you know, PowerPoint presentation they had. And like I say, this first year they posted one. You know, you start reading some of those rules and you start shaking your head a little bit going, what's going on here? You know? And I think I'm going to have to call him today, and I'm just not going to put in for it this year.
My guess is your buddy's feeling the same way. He's just waiting for you to say so. But, yeah, I mean, it's all those safety rules, they come from somewhere. Someone must have caused a need for that rule. So you never know. There's a lot of stupid people out there doing a lot of stupid things. So they need a rule to prevent it all.
Yeah, roger that. So here's the catch, or here's the rub. I know for a fact he's thinking the same thing I am. But it matters who says something first. Because the second I open my mouth about, you know, hey, you know, I need to talk with you about something. I mean, he is sharp. Immediately, it's going to be, oh, okay, you won't talk about the alligator hunt this year. I can see it in my mind. That's exactly what's going to happen with him. Which tells me he's been thinking about it, too. But I got to make a decision. Do I tell him, Oh, yes. I just would, you know, be preemptive and say, yep, I'm just checking to make sure you're still on board with this. Or I tell him, well, you know, kind of, you know, I want to talk, you know, a little bit about it, and then listen to 3 days worth of trash talk, you know.
Well, so here's what you do. You got to tell them that alligator hunting ain't tough enough for you. You got to go tell them that you're going to be hunting poisonous snakes with your bare hands, and if that doesn't satisfy you, you're going to go after bears with your bare hands and just keep one up in them until he gives in. Call his uncle.
How that? Not going to work. You just have to know, you know, Alan, he's a pretty smart cookie, and he knows, you know, he knows the way my mind works. So unfortunately, he knows how mine works a whole lot better than I know how his works. So I've just, you know, got to figure all that out. Maybe, you know, maybe I'll tell him I've got some kind of disease or something. There's that. You can always just lie to it. I mean, I hate to do that, but oh man, I'm gonna catch it. I'm gonna catch it if I tell him.
What about faking your death and changing your name? That's one option, I guess. Hey, my friend, I've arrived at work, though, but good luck with the conversation with the friend. Thank you for your service, by the way. Those nights in the bunker must have been tough, and you have a great day.
Wonderful day. Be safe. 73's KO4NUE mobile.
73's K8HAN. I'm out.
W4FCM.
4NUE KO4PXB.
TB, KO4NUE, go ahead, Lord.
How are you?
I'm doing great, I guess. I had one cup of coffee, not made my mind up whether that's enough or not.
Cup of coffee gets rid of the shakes and the anxiety, then that's definitely enough.
I guess. What you up to this morning?
Out to take the baby to daycare and then heading off to work for a little bit today.
Roger that. She's keeping you busy.
You would not believe she's, you know, 2 and a half and just she's getting into that little snit mode where just she doesn't want anything done. Like I said this morning, man, it's like she gained the third and fourth arm and foot trying to get her dressed and to do anything.
Full of bumblebees, huh?
Definitely so. I said, but she's still in a lot better off place with us than, you know, with her, you know, with the, I'll put it this way, the egg donor.
Oh, that's bad. Oh, still no word over.
She's, like I said, she's definitely moved on. She's got another child, and she just has made it very clear that she doesn't care about Madeline, and she signed the paperwork over to, that she was okay with them terminating her parental rights, so we're free to adopt her in 6 months.
That's a good thing, bud. I commend you. This, boy, that's a big commitment.
And so, like I said, I just know the conditions that the mother has lived in before and all the things that she does with, you know, drugs and this, that, and the other, that she doesn't need to be in that situation.
Yeah. Well, do you think you're going to get them servers up and running today?
I'm up and running Wednesday, late afternoon Wednesday. So the 'cause we found out that AT&T ISP, which is Internet Service Provider, does not cover Central Texas, so that's why the connection to them was not going anywhere. So we put it back on the East Coast, and our backups are running perfectly fine to it.
Yeah, I'm glad y'all got that straightened out. I know that can be a little bit difficult trying to figure all that out.
When the tech support that you contact and ask them gave you bad information after the fact, because I'm not sure if you know what a ping for a computer is, but on this server, it is actually turned off because it has the coroner case files from, you know, accidents and horrible pictures that by HIPAA have to be protected. And so it is not allowed to be pinged from the outside world or even internal. So they were saying that it had to be active to let it send out and reply. And that's not true because we didn't make any of the change, and it is working.
I understand. Well, well, good deal. I'm glad you got all that worked out. And how it? Sorry. How's Miss Tracy doing?
Been doing good. Like I said, she's probably drinking her probably starting on her second cup of coffee, getting ready to start work. She just has to walk from the den to the office area to start work. So she works at home.
Is she virtual? What's she doing virtually?
For Windstream Communications, she's one of the project coordinators.
COIT, right?
So, yeah, she handles the computers and the phone turnovers when companies change over to mainly business parts will turn over, turn from one phone support or provider to another one. So I'm a step inside just a minute to drop the baby off in daycare. So I'll be back probably about 3 or 4 minutes.
Praise Lord. KO4NUE mobile.
KO4NUE, KO4PXB, I'm back mobile.
Speed KO4NUE, go ahead, sir.
Up to the deer camper, just running other errands today.
Yeah, I'm en route. It's a long drive up Highway 11.
Be careful up there because they're expecting high winds and some storms today.
I'll be all right, I guess. It's well, pretty well protected. It's got some really big trees right next to it, so I figure if enough of them fall on the cabin, I can have some natural protection. How about that?
We don't have any pine trees. Remember out in Graffenvere when they made us stand out in the open field because of the high wind that was coming and just pretty much bending the top of the trees over?
Graffenvere is one of them, I'm not sure how to describe that. I'm kind of glad I came and kind of glad I left, you know?
Definitely true. The way to describe Graffenvere is that you can truly say that you've been through hell.
I get it. I don't know, man. Fort Stewart's pretty bad, too.
That is definitely true, which Graffenvere now is definitely not like it was when we were there. All the tank trails are paved now, and it's like, yeah, there's nothing like hitting the tank trail or having a big rut that jars your teeth loose.
Yeah, especially if you're about to fifth one back in all that dust. That's really fun.
And that way, having a muddy tank trail too, man alive.
Yeah, you got a funny military story. Let me hear it.
Yeah, I think it was either you were in front of us when we were going on that little trail like you were going toward the maintenance area, and the little piglets were out squealing, and they started coming up to us, and remember that mother boar, man, she just took off after us, and we were just nothing but, you know, running for all we were worth.
Remember, yeah. I think we, what was it, 113 we jumped up on top of. She was not happy at all.
113 that we climbed up on, we stood there for at least about 10 minutes waiting for her to finally go away.
You messing with them babies. But let's see if I can find one. So, the commander. We were riding around in Alpha 1, that 998 four-door he had. and we came across a washout just down at Fort Stewart. Me being the private in the vehicle, he says, "Hey, private, get out and you go over to that washout and see if you can move those logs in that washout and see if, you know, so we can get through it. Walk through it and tell me how deep it is." Okay. Yes, sir. So I get out of the truck and I walk up to the, you know, little washout area there, and I probably get 10, 15 feet from it. And them logs got up and moved by themselves, you know, big, long alligators. And, nope, turned around, went right back to the truck. They just laughed and laughed. They thought that was funny. I didn't, however.
PXP, this is that's something you can definitely laugh at after the fact, but not during that time.
Right. I think another funny story is I got sent to Fort Sill, Oklahoma one year, you know, king of the battle, field artillery. That's all they do is field artillery out there. So went out there to learn to be turret mechanic to work on the 109s. And after we, you know, anytime you do any kind of work on the breech mechanism, you know, the weapon has to be test fired. So we drove it out to the testing facilities and, you know, the testing range there. I don't know, it's charged 3 white bag. It was not very big. But when, you know, we did a finger pop on it and pulled the fire pin thing, and when we did, they were 2 Roadrunners, you know, Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner on, you know, cartoons growing up. There were 2 Roadrunners in the pine tree behind us, and the concussion, you kind of knocked them both out of the tree, kind of knocked them silly, actually. Those things came out and ran. They ran round and round and round and round that howitzer, and then got to their senses a little bit and took off. And boy, I'm telling you, those are fast birds. But it was kind of funny to see them get idled a little bit, you know, run around the howitzer a few times. We thought that was pretty funny.
Because like I said, they knew where the sound came from, so they were just going to attack it and try to scare it off.
You remember Barney Cooley? Over.
Certainly do.
I got transferred out of service battery and got moved to A battery. And being in service battery, I've been in service battery, you know, 4 or 5 years. Never seen a howitzer shoot, you know. So when I got transferred to A battery, you know, being a firing battery, I was kind of excited to, you know, be able to finally see one of those things shoot. So we was back in the field trains area and didn't have a whole lot to do, so I asked Barney if I could borrow his Humvee. I want to go up and see one of the howitzers shoot. Sure. Just, you know, don't tear my truck up. But Barney's, you know, he's a maintenance guy. So I drove all the way up to the firing range. You know, 8 howitzers online there. They shooting charge 8s, you know, big stuff. Well, I just pulled in between the 2 howitzers, right in between Sergeant Moody and Sergeant Bishop's howitzers. And, boy, they pulled the tail, Bill Wayne pulled the tail on his when he did. It busted both windshields out of the Humvee. There's a Coke can and a potato chip bag laying in the floorboard. You know, it picked that potato chip bag up, and it just kind of floated around in the truck for a little bit. But it was not a fun day when I, you know, drove back up in the area and Barney met me with, you know, both windshields busted out of the truck. He was not happy with me.
We bet not.
my mentor for, oh, I don't know, probably 5 years. And pretty rough, you know, when you don't listen. When you listen, things go pretty smooth. But you know me, sometimes I don't make the best decisions. So, boy, he stayed on me. But it took him a year or two, I guess. But we finally got it worked out.
Really a man, and you never wanted to let grab onto you because he would just break you in half.
Had them old big short stubby fingers, a little bit slow, but if he ever got his hands on you, you were done.
Saw him take a thing of 3/4 rebar and just flex it till both ends touched. I'm going, yep. Said, I'm damn sure glad I can outrun you.
I got some fond memories of that man. He, you know, first year was a little rough through the whole mentorship program, but you know, after that, it was you know, played a lot of jokes and pranks on each other. It was pretty cool. You know, we turned out to be pretty close, and we still keep in touch, actually.
This was my question. I was hoping he was still around.
Yeah. I got hired on at the shop there in Greer, and first day on the job, Barney issued me a set of keys to the shop. So I got there about an hour early, you know, gonna have coffee made for everybody and, you know, make a good impression on the first day. And I went over to Barney's workbench. She had a little bottle in there that had, you know, the lock was sticking. You stick the key in it and it was stiff. So I said, let me go ahead and, you know, lube this thing up. So I went in there and got some little bottle off of Barney's desk. It was pink, you know, and I said, well, Barney's put transmission fluid in there. That'll work. So I grabbed that bottle of, you know, transmission fluid, I thought, and just filled that lock full of it. Stuck the key in it. Boy, that thing worked so good. I was so proud of myself. So about lunchtime came, we all got ready to go to lunch. In Barney's van, and Barney's trying to get the gate locked, and he stayed out there, and finally the boss man got out and said, Barney, come on, we got to go to lunch. And he said, God dang it, Ronald, he says, I can't get the lock to lock, and something's wrong with it. So he got out of the truck, so they both standing out there messing around that lock, and finally Barney picked the lock up and smelled of it. He turned around and looked back in the van, and him and boss man started talking. So Barney come up to the window and he says, Chad, did you put Loctite in the lock? I said, no, sir. I put transmission fluid in the lock. And he says, where'd you get the transmission fluid? I said, it was that little squirt bottle you had on your desk. He said, you big dummy, that's not transmission fluid, that's Loctite. I had to rekey the shop on the first day of the job. 7 keys.
Great way to make a first impression.
KP2HXS Mobile.
XS, KO4NUE, and KO4PXB. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, Chad. I just want to throw something out there. There was someone on here yesterday looking for an answer on hamsticks, and you know, to use multiple hamsticks with one coax. And the device is called a Chameleon. It's a spider by Chameleon. You can put either 2 sets or 4 sets of hamsticks on this device horizontally, and run multiple bands off of one coax. I just wanted to throw that out there if anybody's listening. I know Steve was interested in that, too. I'll give him a call a little bit later. But I looked it up. I think you can get it on Gigaparts or something. But it's called the Spider by Chameleon, if you can remember that.
Well, if I hear Steve in there, I'll let him know if you're not here. Over.
Yes, to Simpsonville at the moment. I'm going into town real quick. I got to pick up a coil and go change out an evaporated coil under the house. Hopefully beat the doggone rain. Maybe. All right, let you guys continue on. Have a good morning. KB2HXS will be mobiling on here.
We're HKX. Good morning, Lloyd. Good morning again, Chad. Good morning, Dave.
It's KO4PXB. How's your day?
Well, not so good. I'm sitting at a truck stop right now. I had to work on my truck.
NUE. Does he need some help?
Nah, I've got it back up and running. I don't know what it is, but this truck keeps splitting the side out of the fuel filters.
A plastic canister, or is it a metal canister?
It is plastic. This is the second time it's done it to me, hence the reason I keep a filter on the truck now.
From high pressure, or is it from vibration and heat?
Honestly, I think it's from the heat and pressure, but when I check the pressure on it, everything's good, so I don't know. It's just one of those that it just happens at random for some reason.
Now, diesel fuel, how hot do you think the diesel fuel's getting?
It's just hanging on the side of the engine. I mean, it's not like it's getting hot enough to boil it or anything like that. It's just, it's one of those that I can't catch to prove it's a pressure regulator or a pump going bad and just aggravating.
Have you considered possibly getting a replacing the whole mount and everything, the filter canister housing, and change it over to a metal type over?
But like I said, this is only the second time it happened in a year, so one time I'm like, okay, just a bad filter. Now I'm going to start looking into it a little more seriously.
If we need some help with it, let me know. But that can be a not a good thing. I guess if you got a spare one, that's a smart thing to do. Over.
The thing it is that quarter of a tank of fuel that I lost in the process. That's $100 down the road there.
That's hard to take. Yeah.
Lloyd
from talking, y'all. I just
want to let you know I was
back on the road and all right. HKX, did y'all get my last
transmission? We did. You still in there, Lloyd? Come on, your turn. Scariest thing that ever happened to me while in Grafenwöhr was me and First Sergeant Campbell. Remember the real heavyset African American gentleman, and we were in the old M151 Jeep, and we were riding on the tank trail, and they had obviously not closed that tank trail at that point in time, or somebody was early on their firing, and the whole battery of the MLRS went off, and both of us just went to the ditch and left the Jeep sitting in the middle of the road.
LRS will put you, it'll make you run in a heartbeat. I can't imagine being on the receiving end of those things. But just being, you know, a quarter mile is pretty harrowing.
It's been true when all the missiles or the rounds they let go off that one truck and they had all eight batteries going. I was like, forget that, we're in the ditch. Forget it.
Pretty serious back blast. But let me see, funny stories with artillery. So one year we got the maintenance section. We drew our own howitzer from the mates section. And, you know, we intended to keep it in the maintenance section to do some training on, maintenance training. And, you know, if we needed spare parts, we'd take it off to get the other howitzers up and running. So, about the third day, you know, bunch of mechanics. We kind of got bored. So we decided we're going to go riding around. And we probably got about 10 miles out, I get. No radio, no nothing, just out riding around. And I drove that thing off into a big hole and could not get it out. I could not get it out. And you had to end up walking back to the cantonment area or field trains where Barney was. And just imagine Barney's face. You walk into the field trains area, you know, front guard there, you know, front gate guard. And he's, you know, can't just come in. He's got to let everybody know here he comes. And, yeah, so I got put on KP duty for the rest of the training schedule for that little escapade.
It's funny. As you know, as maintenance house always played a trick on the new people or just pretty much anybody gullible, that one day we send a guy to get the battery adjustment tool, and so the maintenance guy played well into it. He sent the guy back with that 12-pound slide hammer for pulling the torsion bars. Man, we just rolled off that vehicle laughing, seeing that guy walking across the field area with that torsion bar puller.
We did muffler bearings and a box of grid squares. The box of grid squares was, you know, that was the funniest. You know, we'd send them all over the place. They'd spend half a day looking for a box of grid squares. We think we did a skyhook one time. We sent one of them after a skyhook. He never did come back. I don't know what happened to him, but yeah, it's a little cruel, I guess.
The guy to get the key to the impact area one day, and that was a funny one, except the fact that he actually went to a first sergeant that was never very nice, but he all came back and chewed us out for a little bit. He did not see any humor in it.
It can be that way. I guess they gotta be, though, you know.
Did you ever get the great opportunity to ride on the 88? That was truly a Cadillac when you're on riding on tank trail, because you very seldom felt any kind of bumps or anything with that baby. Had plenty of room on the inside, too, as long as you kept the bags to a minimum.
Yeah, you talking about a Hercules M88 recovery?
Correct.
Yeah, that's a pretty big beast. And it is pretty comfortable, actually. It's so big and long, you know, it just kind of absorbs everything you put into it. I guess that's the reason they call it Hercules, I guess. That and, you know, how much that thing will pick up. It's unbelievable.
And that 578 recovery vehicle is pretty nice. It did pretty well.
I drove for a year. Barney got mad at me one year and put me on the 578, 978, I believe. And I got stuck on that thing. Not my favorite.
Nothing like riding down a tank trail in the winter in one of vehicles like that, because with that cold rain hitting you and the snow, yeah, it can be very uncomfortable.
All that metal, my goodness, yeah, I remember that. That's not a fun time, but, you know, we were younger then, you know. But it's some good memories in there, because some good people, you know. I think my stint in artillery was, I don't think it's going to be one I'll ever forget. It was something interesting always happening.
I remember one of the vehicles getting marred up to the fenders, and we had to go out there with that recovery winch cable and hook it up. Like I said, yeah, we were pretty much, you know, sunk down, that we thought sometimes that they'd have to recover us, because it was just so thick that you had to dredge yourself through that mud.
All right, Bubba, listen, I'm close to my destination, so let me back on out of here. Good morning, 73s, Lloyd. Y'all have a good day. KO4NUE. I'm short time, over.
KO4NUE, KO4 PXB. Please be mindful of the bears that you're in your area and keep yourself safe.
KO4NUE, clear.
Before FCM, yep, son. He will be.
PXB, KO4HX, you still there, Lord?
XS, I'm still here, Patrick.
Friend Dave.
Hey. Yeah, I just kind of backed out for a few minutes here. I let the guys talk. They were into a pretty good conversation. I don't want to interrupt it. So. I'm just down here on Rutherford Road. Got to go pick up a coil and head to Simpsonville. Yay.
Heading to Warren on Highway, 39 or 34, I believe it is.
You're heading down to Lawrence? Really?
Yeah, I go down here to the Michelin test track once a month.
Oh, okay. Where the heck, what road is that on? Isn't that on 101?
No, Lawrence County. Middle of the state.
I don't know where the heck that is. In reference to where we are here in Gurr, I don't know, whereabouts is that?
50 miles south of you.
Okay, I didn't know that. Wow, I didn't. Oof. That's a heck of a trip for you. That's a lot of fuel consumption.
Down here in these little rolling hills, it gets kind of scratchy.
It's a little bad area there. You said it gets a little scratchy? Getting on kind of, it sounds like on the fringe, you're in a scratchy area right now. And I'm on Rutherford Road, so I'm not much better than you.
Hell, Dave, I'll bump the power up a little bit.
Yeah, it's probably me too, because I'm down here on Rutherford and coming down to Pleasantburg Road, so I'm probably in the little dead zone down here. Let me hang the mic up and I'll give you a holler in a bit. So I gotta go grab this coil and do a turn and burn and get down to Simpsonville.
KO4HKX, clear.
All right, Patrick, we'll catch you later. KB2HXS, mobile.